Your Highness, what are we going to do if those little Italian men keep destroying your kingdom? You aren't going to have anywhere to bring the princess back to.
I know.
Yeah.
I need someone to rebuild my kingdom. But who?
King Koopa, may I suggest someone?
Go ahead.
How about Patriot Paint and Construction?
What?
Yes, they actually rebuild the Mushroom Kingdom every time you destroy it.
How can I reach them?
Simply call 806-544-7199. They are insured and bonded and have been in business for more than 14 years.
Now there is no stopping me.
John Eric.
Media. Okay. Here we go.
All you ladies, pull your chi-chis out. This is the JP Lopez Show. Also, if you're a transgender, pull your pecker out. This is the JP Lopez Show.
Country boys can survive!
America!
Oh, thank you for tuning back into the JP Lopez Show, man. I got a fucking very, very special first-timer here.
Yes.
Goes by the name of Big Dan House. Yes. What's up, man?
Man, what's up, man? Big house in the house, man. Yeah.
And
we've been a long time, dude.
Very long time. I'm happy to see you, dude.
I know, man.
So, surprise, surprise, man. Yeah. JP Lopez Show is one fucking years old, man.
Hey, congratulations.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations on that, buddy.
Congratulations, bro. Yes, happy birthday to the show.
Appreciate that, man. Fuck yeah.
It's awesome. I saw where you have, what, over 10,000 downloads?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Ramos sent me that shit, and I just worked overnight, so I didn't see it till like 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
You went and rubbed one out when you saw the...
I was all...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait till you get 20,000 downloads.
I can't wait for 12,000.
But badass, bro. Congratulations.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. That's awesome, man. Happy for you.
So I'll get into it, man. I didn't know that you were sick, bro. I really didn't.
Me neither.
And
nobody did. I didn't post nothing on Facebook, nothing, man. I just
get that, but it's still, you kind of still feel like a shitty friend.
I wish I would have known, man.
There's a lot of people that know, just my family and stuff. And I got COVID pneumonia, and it screwed me up bad, dude. Like I was in the shower one morning and I couldn't breathe and my arm started locking up. Just nuts.
Like crampy?
Yeah, I couldn't do nothing.
Couldn't control it or nothing.
So I was like, I better do something. And the past couple weeks before that, I felt weird. And
you didn't have the urge to give yourself a stranger?
No.
You did. You did. I know.
I couldn't even grab it, dude. My hands were so cramped up, I couldn't even grab it.
I just give myself a stranger real quick, just then I go to the hospital.
So let me just mess with the tip while you're waiting for the ambulance.
Yeah, man. But no, I got out of the bathroom and just, I'd laid in the bed and I couldn't do nothing, dude. And I finally was able to get dressed. I got dressed and it took me like 2 hours to get from my bed to the kitchen so I can call my sister.
Oh, shit.
So I just wanted to get in the kitchen so in case the ambulance had to come get me. But I caught my breath in that because I couldn't breathe. And then they took me to the hospital. My blood pressure was like 200 over something, man. Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah. You didn't feel like anything leading up to
I
that,
felt nothing.
It just fucking hit you
I
all
I felt nothing
once.
Except for just short of breath when I'd walk. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just because I'm fat. But I never was that short of breath.
Yeah.
Like it was always just never that bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't even do nothing, dude. I'd stand up and I'd walk from the bedroom to the bathroom and I'd be huffing and puffing for breath. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Man, brother.
So they took me in and my blood pressure was like in the 200s. It was like stroke level.
Damn. Fuck, dude.
And, they did the test on me and said, yeah, you got COVID.
You finally had a high score in something.
Exactly.
Yo, I'll leave it up there for a little bit. I want to admire it.
Man. So, man, it was crazy. And then, so they admitted me to the hospital, and I was in there for like a week, and I thought I was good. And they were giving me shots in my stomach. Because, you know, when you get COVID, you get, it gives you blood clots.
Oh, man. COVID gives you blood clots?
Yeah, that's one of the symptoms.
Shit.
So. I got out of the hospital like a week later, And that night I went home, and my vision was going blurry, and my hearing was like muffled, and I couldn't do anything, man. It was just weird. Mm. So I went to bed, and my woman Natalie, she was there, and she left, and I told her I'd be fine. And the next morning I couldn't get out of bed. Mm. I had such a, and I, my stomach was bruised. It looked like a huge brisket on my stomach, man. That's what my brother said. It looked like a brisket was
laying
on my
stomach. From all those shots or what?
Yeah. Because what they were supposed to do is switch some sides, but they just kept doing the same side. Shit. So it put a bleed in my stomach.
Fuck, dude.
And then all that day I couldn't get out of bed until about 5 o'clock. My nephew Max came over and helped me get out of bed. And I felt bad for him because I was like, he had to help me change my clothes. Uh-huh. I couldn't even stand up. It was so painful.
That's when you knew something.
They sent you home like that?
Yeah, I felt better. Like, I felt better. But when I got home, it just hit me. So, and I remember because the White Sox and Rangers were playing, and I wanted to watch the game. So I got up. I wanted to watch the game. And I was sitting there, and he's like, you're pale. Like, you look like a ghost. And my vision was going. I was seeing spots, and my hearing was all jacked up again. And I thought maybe I was dehydrated.
When your vision was going blurry, did you think, fuck, they were right, masturbating women? It does cause blindness.
God damn it. Pamela Anderson, you
bitch. Damn it, too much, man.
My dad was right.
He's like, let me rub one out before they get here.
That is nuts, dude. I had no idea, brother.
Yeah,
that
so
is freaking crazy.
It's not even the half of it, man. Like, my sister, she's a paramedic or an ER nurse at Covenant, and her husband's a flight medic with Covenant.
Okay, yeah.
So they come over and check me out, and they couldn't even
With AeroCare?
No, he used to work for AeroCare. He's with Covenant now.
Oh, okay.
Personal Covenant.
But they come over and they were doing my blood pressure. Could barely get a blood pressure on me now. Like, my blood pressure is in the 60s. It was so low.
God, it went from one extreme to the other. It was going
to the highest to like the lowest, yeah. So I was bleeding, and man, they called the ambulance that night, and all I wanted to do was sleep, man. And I felt like I was done. Like, I'm going to die in this ambulance or in the ER. And finally got to the ER, and I was just cold and wanted to go to sleep.
Still no problem breathing or still trouble breathing?
I was on oxygen. I had to wear oxygen for a couple months.
Fuck.
But I was...
Man, that's crazy, Huss.
I got to the ER, and I just wanted to sleep. And they just put these warm blankets on me, and I was like, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to just die, man. I didn't think I was going to wake up. It was just, I felt so weird.
I bet that was scary, man.
It was. And finally I woke up, and when I was in the ICU, and I heard my woman Natalie and my sister was there, and the doctors or the nurses and stuff were trying to get me situated, and I woke up, and they're talking that they're going to have to give me some blood. So I had to get a bunch of blood. Mm. And then I got an infection, and that made it even worse.
It's just a domino effect.
Yeah, also complications.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fluid on me, on my lungs and around my heart, and they had to give me some stuff to get rid of all that, so I was able to get all that off.
All that boiled down to COVID pneumonia?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Was. And so all that's good. I got better from all that. I was in the hospital for like almost two and a half weeks. Hmm. And then I go home, and I'm home for like a week or two, and I'm feeling fine, man. I lost a lot of weight in the hospital, and I was walking good. I was on pain. I was on a little bit of pain meds and steroids, so my knees weren't hurting. I was feeling good, man. And my nephews, Cannon and Chase, had a baseball game on a Saturday morning, like at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and I got in the shower, and my left arm died. Like, I couldn't do anything with it.
Fuck.
So I'm like, what the hell?
I guess that shower is a...
I was like, I'm never going to take a fucking shower again. Damn it.
Fuck you, JP.
But so I get out of the shower, and I get dressed real quick, and my arm's just dead. It's just hanging there, and it's like the pain starts coming in, like, and it's real cold. Mm. So I call my sister, and she's like, did you sleep on your arm wrong or something? And I said, yeah, I might have. Maybe it's just something like that. And she said, well, we're going to the game. Just let us know what happens. And I thought about going back to bed. And so I ended up calling my mom, and she goes, that sounds like a blood clot. Mm.
Dang.
And so she's like, I'm coming over to check you out. And so I was sitting there, and I'm sitting at the bar at my house, and I was kept picking my arm up and slamming it on the table to try and get it to wake up, because it was dead. I couldn't do anything with it. And she got there, and she felt my arm, and it was ice cold. And she goes, we better call the ambulance gets you in the hospital.
And mom's a nurse, right? If I'm not mistaken.
She's retiring this week, actually. Friday's going to be her last day coming up. So.
Damn.
Yeah, she worked with my mom for years. Yeah,
congrats, man.
I will, man. And so they rushed me to the ER again and had a blood clot. I was like 6 inches long, and my left arm is an arterial clot.
I heard that you... I fucking heard that you can't take out a blood clot. Is that true?
You can't, because they cut me open. I got this long scar on my inside of my arm. They pulled it right out, man.
Oh, okay. So you... So that's what I heard. I don't know why I heard that, but I heard that you couldn't take it out. Like, you had to, like... thin it out or
you can. You can do, because that's what they thought about doing with just blood thinners. But he said it's so big in there, like the clot's so big, we got to get it out now.
You did like a scan on that? Yeah,
they did. They did like an ultrasound to my arm and could see it in there.
Did they put it, was it like emergency rush?
Pretty much. Like,
damn, bro, that's nuts.
Because I was going to go back to bed and not call my mom. I was just going to just go back to bed because I was like, maybe it'll wake up. And then I said if I'd have waited longer and went back to bed, I probably would have died or would have lost the use of my arm. Yeah, so
fuck, bro.
Yeah.
Damn.
You have somebody watching out for you, my brother.
Well, I know, man.
That should be a note to all the guys that listen to this podcast, man. Like, listen to your body, bro.
Exactly.
Like,
and dude, I've been somebody. 100%. I don't ever go to the doctor.
Exactly. I was about to say, imagine how many times we were like, nah, fuck it.
Sure.
You were going to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
I know there's times I'm like, nah, it's nothing.
Seriously. Yeah. Me too. Me too, brother. Me too.
Yeah. If I'd have gone back to sleep, I should have been dead, man.
Damn, bro. Well, I'm fucking glad you're still here.
Me too, brother. To go through something like that, you know, knowing my luck, I get a cold and shit, and I'm out for months.
It was
it
was hard, man, being in the hospital. Like, I broke down one day in there because
I
was like, I'm Big Dan, man. I don't ever need help from anybody. I always do everything myself, and now I can't do shit for myself.
I imagine.
I was so weak and couldn't do nothing. I had my sister had to help me in the bathroom one day, and I just lost it. I was like, that's enough, man. I can't deal this shit.
God has a way of humbling us, man.
Yeah,
I'm far from perfect. You know, sometimes my faith can, but then hearing stories like that, I could focus on the negative, and usually I do, but then I hear that, I'm like, well, you're here. Somebody is watching out for you, and that test you went through, you passed that son of a bitch with flying colors, and I thank God for that, brother.
And you got, like you said, God humbles us,
yes, sir.
And you got to understand, there's just going to be times you can't do it by yourself.
And that's okay.
You need help. And it's okay.
And your sisters and your mom and sister, you know, I was blessed to know them a little bit there. They had your back regardless. So it's, that's okay. You know,
and besides all this shit, when I was in surgery, they found out I had her birth defect in my heart.
Oh.
That was never, that has always been there since I was born.
Football. Oh, crap.
And never.
Coach Loudermill knew his ass.
So I have like a hole in my heart or something, and there's like a little flap on it.
Yeah.
Shit. And like it just kind of sputters out blood.
Little front door.
Something, pretty much, man.
Shit. Damn, and then, that's crazy.
Yeah, and there's no reason to fix it because I've lived 41 years with it, so.
Damn.
Might as well just leave it.
That is nuts, bro.
Yeah.
Most people, they find out they can't do anything. Your ass was playing football. And
yeah, I did it all, man. Played football and just never even had any heart issues, man.
Yeah.
We were so pissed at you for not playing football in high school, dude.
Dude, when I quit my junior year, I wish I never would have done it.
You remember, I
what the fuck is wrong with you, House? Yeah.
I was like a recruiter. I would hunt him and Patrick Castro down. I'd be like, bro,
he was like my best friend in high school, and I was like, do what he did.
And he would, man, House was a big old teddy bear, and he just had that smile, and he's like, oh, man, maybe I'll come back. I was like, no, fuck maybe. I was like, we need
to. So I played. I came back my senior year, but I'm pissed because I didn't get to play with you. I played with you on JV.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Till I broke my leg my sophomore year.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you hurt your leg on JV team.
Yeah, fucking.
And you broke the hardest bone to break, right?
Yeah, they freaking broke my femur in half, dude.
I will never forget that game, bro.
And it was actually an own teammate that did it. Yeah. I was going to block the linebacker, and one of the fullbacks got rolled up, and he freaking rolled my knee up and just cracked, dude.
I remember that.
He said in the hospital that he would listen to the show and it damn near killed him.
Thanks a lot, JP.
I'd be in there, dude, just listen to JP's podcast and just be rolling. I'd be laughing, get choked up, and they're in here, you're not breathing. Shit, I'm laughing. I'm not having a heart attack.
You're on download the podcast, God dang it. That's badass, though, bro.
Dude, but I don't know. They had me on.
I like to hear that. That's cool.
They had me on some weird drugs in the hospital. And
that Dilaudid.
I don't know exactly what they had, but and then I was on a breathing machine, like just helped me when I slept.
Yeah.
And I woke up. I didn't know where I was at.
Did you have to sleep on your stomach?
No.
No.
Okay.
I heard that that's what you had.
Yeah, most people do because your lungs can expand better when you're on your stomach.
Okay. Okay.
But no, I didn't. They had me on it was a BiPAP to help me breathe when I was sleeping because I was stopping breathing when I slept.
Damn.
And I would wake up in the middle of the night, not knowing where the hell I was at. And one night I jumped out of the bed and I was ripping everything off me, all my needles out of my arms, and just had needles in my neck and all this. And I was like, I'm a horse. I gotta piss. I'm a horse.
I'm hung like a horse. Damn it. I'm a pony.
But what I was trying to say is, because my dad always, when he needed to piss real bad, he'd always say, I gotta piss like a racehorse. That's right. And that's what I was trying to
try to say. But you got, I'm a horse.
But I kept saying, I'm a horse and I gotta piss. And so I went to the bathroom, pissed, and come back out, and the nurses and everybody's in there trying to get my stuff together because I threw everything around.
The nurses know why they called you Big Dan. Mm.
That's right. They found out.
You had to watch out for the male ones. They're like,
come here, Big Dan. Come here, big old house. Bring that big old house over here.
But so I started apologizing to them. I'm like, I'm sorry. I said, I don't know if y'all know, but I'm not really a horse. I just need to piss like one.
I just want to clarify.
So just clarifying things. I'm not a horse. I'm a normal guy that had to piss like a horse.
Well, I'm glad you're we're fucking, better.
Yeah, we're excited you're here, bro.
Seriously. Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm so glad to be here. I've been talking, ever since he invited me, that's all I've been talking about. I've been telling my girl Natalie, I'm going to be on that podcast. That's what I got to talk about. I want to talk about this, talk about that. And she's just like, I'm tired of hearing this shit.
She's like, go on there already, damn it.
Can you go now?
And then when you had to reschedule on me, I was like so down about it. I was like, shit. Now we're not going to be able to do this because I'm going back to work and I'm not going to be able to get off on. Because I'm old as fuck. I go to bed early, man, because I gotta get up early.
You
and I both. You and I both.
I'll have my ass in bed at 8 o'clock or 8:30 on work nights, man. You know?
So my wife, she'll say, you ready to go to bed? And I don't like to, let her go to bed by herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
You're like, damn,
and
babe.
I'm just fucking there watching TV or watching my phone. And, yeah, she goes to bed early, too, man.
I can't help it, man. I got to get my sleep.
I guess with, working in the heat, man, I try and enjoy. So I'll stay up a little bit as long as I can. But, yesterday we took a little trip to go watch a Rangers game. And we got there after the game, bro. I went straight to crash out. Like, we get to the hotel. I fell asleep.
I'm
done. 8:30. I woke up 4 o'clock. I was like, oh, shit. Missed half of my vacation. My girls are all passed out. But we had on the border, ate like 2 bites and shit. So I was in the middle of the night eating cold leftovers. And so if I spend $100 on this tab, I'm going to eat
this shit, dude.
Yeah, but I go to sleep a little bit earlier than I used to. But if I can't, if the games are on, a good football game, good basketball game, or the Rangers are playing, I'll stay up as long as I can.
Even NBA, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to be a kid and watch that game. And then you got bedtimes and then you're like, well, I want to stay up. And like, no, I'll go to bed. And you're fucking waking up. That's how I was when I was a kid.
Some of the games don't start till 9 o'clock, and it's all after midnight. So it's hard to.
So I was waking up in the morning, ready to hear the radio station on the way to work, see if the fucking whoever won. Fuck, they lost.
Yes,
we didn't have the internet back then.
Oh yeah.
Fucking.
We had to read the paper or call. Yeah. Hey, JP, did you see it on ESPN? The bottom line.
Did they win?
Fuck. Oh, you had to stay up all night to see your freaking highlights, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, back then ESPN showed tech highlights. It was right before the commercial. And take one. And then we'll go to a commercial. Yeah. Motherfuckers. Oh,
yeah. They could care less about tech. That's one thing I give Chris Beard some credit, when he got us in on the national stage.
Oh yeah.
They put us in NBA 2K, I think, or 2020. If you
could, they did?
In the college,
I didn't know that.
One of the colleges you can pick is Michigan, Duke, big schools, and then Texas Tech. So when my girl, because I bought the game for my daughters, and they'll be playing it, and they'll do the college or career mode or college, whatever, and you can play at Texas.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
cool. It's been forever since I played video games, bro.
Yeah, I don't play as much, bro.
But we used to play fucking video games all the time.
There's always NCAA
time.
Football, man.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Always that shit.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. They're bringing it back next year.
Yeah.
Likely with all likenesses or whatever you call it. Yeah. So I'm excited.
I don't know why they got rid of it. That was a fucking home run.
Yeah. 20 years, or they got sued, so they didn't want to let it go.
And somebody wanted the money for being in the game.
Sure, I don't know.
Somebody that never made it in the NFL or something.
It was the old Crabtree or something.
Damn, puto. No, I don't know if you remember those O'Banion twins that played for UCLA as basketball.
Yeah.
They're the ones that started it all. They sued NCAA EA Sports for using their likenesses without their permission. Went in court. I remember this because ESPN, I used to watch it all the time. And for like 10 years, they were in court. And then that's why 2014 was the last year, I think, of the NCAA. They finally had to.
Well, now these high school kids are getting paid like $3 million, $4 million.
It's crazy.
That fucking Arch Manning kid, he just went to Texas and he was making like $4 million last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
as a high schooler, yeah.
He's got it made because who his family is, you know.
Oh yeah,
the name alone. I used to laugh in high school when, I don't know if you remember, we'd always say we're going to enter our name in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
We'd go around telling everybody, be like, dude, I think I'm entering my name in the NBA draft, and they'd be, what the fuck are you talking about? I wish we would have did something.
Like, I don't know how much eligibility I got, but I'm about to go to the draft. And now I always say I'm going to apply for the coach's job.
Yeah.
They're looking for a coach. I'm like, I don't put my name in the hat, man.
Anytime someone around, like Pete Christie posted some high school's hiring, I text Mike, hey, bro, your head coaching opportunities right there. I pray one day, you know, Mike out there at Rawls, man, he's offensive coordinator with Xavier Rangel. Their offense is badass. He runs a wing, what? Not wing tee. Spread. Well, my brother's gonna hate me. Slot tee. There we go. So they run a lot. And he was down in Liberty Hill in Austin. They're like 3-time state champs. So he brought that style to West Texas. And
are they 6-man?
Mike?
No.
They're 2A.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They're small as shit.
You got enough room?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay. On the cord though.
Yeah,
on
that's the headphones? Good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, gonna do it to you, brother.
What's up?
What's your favorite feel-good memory, man?
Oh, yeah. Man, I thought about this, man. I got so many with, like, my nephews, Cannon and Chase. But one of my things I think about a lot, and it makes me smile, is, like, around this time last year, me and my girl Natalie went on a trip to go see Jeremy Blair and his wife Lauren, because they had their baby, Texana. She was just born, and we had never been on a trip together. We've always just gone to Crosby, Tennessee, my brother, or gone out to the deer lease or whatever, but never had a trip together just to go. And
yeah,
we finally had a night where we could just us two just do whatever. And so we got a case of beer and sat on the patio of our cabin overlooking this pond, just talked, man.
You said Texarkana? Where was this?
This is in Grand Saline, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Grand Saline. Okay.
Texana. I said Texana because that's their daughter's name.
Oh, okay. Nice. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
It's cool.
I like that, Texana.
But, we sat over this pond and we talked for hours, dude. It was just one of those, like, real, just talking about everything, about the past, the present, the future. Just a lot of emotion in that talk, too. A lot of laughter, a lot of crying and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just making sure this was everything. Everything was what we wanted it to be, and mm-hmm. just what we had planned for the future and stuff. And
that's cool shit.
We got hammered drunk. Just had a good time, man. It was one of those freaking awesome talks. And we went in the side, and like I'm sitting there just eating some pizza because trying to sober up a little bit. And she comes out and she's like, "Let me have a bite of your pizza." And she's just like giggling, and it was the cutest shit I ever seen in my life, man. And I was like, I gotta marry this girl now.
No, damn,
that was the moment.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Shit.
Which we talked about it. We've been talking about marriage for a while, and
but it didn't hit you until then.
Well, it just like it sealed it all for me.
I was going to say, that was confirmation?
Yeah.
You knew that was it? Yeah. Okay.
Which I knew anyway, I probably would, but that night sealed it all. And so the next week I went and bought a ring, and then we went to, like a month later, we went to Possum Kingdom for like 5 days, and I asked her to marry me there by the lake. Well, I wasn't actually we went at the lake. We were at our cabin when I did it, but.
Man, congratulations.
I was going to do it the first night. The first night was perfect. It was nice and cool. We were drinking. My nephew Max wouldn't leave the freaking he stayed out there, and he wouldn't leave us alone. My sister and her husband went to bed, and I was trying to get her alone, and he just never would leave. And I was like, fuck, whatever. So we just waited and waited. It was like almost the last day, and it was like 110 degrees there, so everybody was miserable. It was so damn hot.
Was this That's trip badass, in dude. Her mind, was this trip, did she know?
We talked about it, but so she didn't know when I was going to do it.
Oh, okay.
She didn't even know I had the ring.
So she didn't know.
She knew
you were eventually going to, but not this trip.
She knew I had a ring, or I ordered one, but I hadn't. I kept telling her I didn't have it.
Yeah.
So, but she got pissed off because it was too hot to do anything. She walked off to the convenience store to grab a beer. And I walked outside. I said, "Where'd she go?" And they're like, "She took off to the garage, to the convenience store." And I'm like, "Well, shit. So I better do it right now to make her feel better."
Go outside. Knock out two birds with one stone.
Yeah, we go outside and it's freaking miserable hot, man. Scalding freaking hot. It's like 110 degrees. And I just popped it right there, man. And she said yes. And I was like, shit.
Badass, bro.
I said, now things got to change, man. We got to get the shit together.
Man.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Brother. Appreciate it, man. And then I'm getting sick and kind of put a back burner on a lot of stuff, man.
Hey,
and
but you already went through the bad with her. Yeah. Exactly. Now it's time for the good.
It's like she stuck me the whole time, man. She saw me one night, like the first night I was in the hospital, just freaking, just a mess, dude. And she was there the whole time.
Everything happens for a reason. And you find out, you know, there's that old country song, you find out who your friends are.
Yeah.
And you find out who loves you when you're at your most
At your worst.
And,
yeah, exactly.
And that's badass, bro. That's cool. That is cool.
Well,
to
that
hear.
Says something in itself.
Yeah,
though,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And hearing you say something I heard that I liked is we live in a day and age where we want, or not we, but people post everything and look at for the wow factor. And you're like, I wanted to get her alone, so I could ask her this. It wasn't about, hey, look what I'm about to do. That's where it shows you where your heart's at. That real intentions.
Yeah, we didn't even make a. I didn't really care about making a big deal about it. No, we didn't even post anything about it till 4th of July.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool shit.
She's over at the house. And we're watching fireworks, and she took all these pictures with a selfie with us with her finger up. Yeah. And then we announced it and all that, so which was awesome.
Well, I'm very proud of you, brother. You
know, appreciate it, man. I never thought I'd do it again.
Yeah,
I got married once. I was like, I'm done.
Done. Yeah.
Didn't work.
I learned my lesson.
Learned my lesson from that shit.
I'm hoping I never get married, but hearing your story gives me a little bit of hope. You know, it's hard to find good women, though.
She told me years ago, man, she's going to change my mind, and it took a long time, and she finally did.
Yeah,
but you have to be friends first.
Yeah,
you're right.
We dated. We dated off and on. We were friends, and just it's always something would happen, and we'd just break it off. And
but
I'd
what I mean by that is, like, you know how that. You said you had a deep conversation with her.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be friends with that person first.
Yeah, so you can't be like me and date for 3 weeks and get married. You know,
yeah,
like, I love you.
Yeah, because you can't get married and then find out who that person
is. Because it's,
And she's over the years, though, I kind of felt like she was going to be the one I'd end up with.
Kind of knew.
I just kind of kept chasing something else, man. I was just like.
You had to get your shit together.
Yeah, and I had to get my shit together.
And there's nothing wrong
with
that.
And we talk about if we had got married back then, it probably wouldn't have worked out because I was not in a good place, man. My head wasn't right, and I was just getting fucked up all the time.
You look good, man. Your eyes, you know what I mean? You look good, brother. You look happy. You look happy.
It took a long time to get there, man. I'm telling you.
I know, brother.
Thanks to her.
Yeah, thanks to her.
She's a big part of it. Man, you know,
for real,
the big change in me was when my nephews were born, Ken and Chase.
Shout out.
And that was 8 years ago. That changed me. That changed my life forever, man. I thought, I was like, this is the closest I'm ever going to have my own kids.
Okay.
I'm never going to have kids. I ain't going to get married again. And then, and just seeing the way my brother is with them, dude, he's an amazing dad.
Shout out to
my nephew Chase is all about his daddy. You know, they're like Chase is his mini me. They're just like, and Cannon, my other nephew, he's all about me most of the time. It's freaking awesome. I remember
Uncle's his world. I love it.
He likes the White Sox, he likes the Dolphins, he likes Gary Allen.
Oh hell.
I took him to a Gary Allen concert and they freaking loved it. Sung all the music. It was awesome, man.
You're the cool uncle.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, I'm proud of you as a big brother. I know we were like big brother. That's badass, dude. You know, that's badass.
I had an uncle that I fucking was just like gum to. Like,
and I'm the same way. My Uncle Jarvis, I'm like that with him, man. He's like, he's everything to me, man.
To this day.
But me knowing how I looked up to my Uncle Enos, like, I'm telling you that's special, bro.
Yeah.
Who was you remember the time we picked up one of your uncles and drove him out to shallow water? And your Jimmy that you used to drive, and he made me get in the back, my big ass in the back seat.
That was my Uncle Johnny.
Because I remember that.
I love Johnny.
And you were like, we got to go pick up my uncle. And he's like, get your fucking fat ass in the back seat.
Johnny.
Okay.
Shout out my Uncle Johnny.
And then we go out to New Deal and take that back road out to shallow water.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are these Mexicans going to take me? I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
I don't know what they're into, God dang it.
Yeah, my Uncle Johnny's like, I'll be here if I sit in the backseat. Get your ass in the backseat.
Man. I didn't know if you remembered that, man. God dang.
Dude, do you remember how pissed you would be? Because we used to always like just volunteer you to drive us and your Suburban smoked. And oh, you were so, you were like, no, man, no. I'm like, that nah, was, dude, you're driving us.
That was the shagging wagon, man. I hated that Suburban, dude. It's all rusted up and just smoked everywhere.
We fucking loved it. I was going to say,
we loved it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We loved it.
A lot of people
stopping
loved
that Burger
thing,
King, man. And smoking that fucking drive through out.
Hell yeah, dude. I couldn't wait to get rid of that.
People trip
thing.
Out when they were like, no, we love the shittiest car to be in. Like,
oh, yeah.
I used to.
And you had one of the shittiest.
It was the shittiest one, man.
Good memories. Good memories.
It's better than what I drove before that. I was driving an 84 Bonneville. I called it 84 Turd because it was a brown piece of shit car, man. And I freaking hated it. And like you'd stop at a stoplight and it would stick. It wouldn't go anywhere. You'd hit that to just push as hard as you could on the gas for it to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I get pulled over by the cops. Why are you peeling out? This thing's a piece of shit. Get stuck when I drive, man.
We're just trying to go, sir.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
He'd be like, man, my dad put no smoke in this motherfucker. It's still smoking. Yes,
exactly.
I remember that.
Exactly. Yeah. It made it smoke even worse.
Yeah.
I remember seeing.
I
remember one night leaving the movie theaters and seeing Fast and the Furious, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to drive fast like these guys. So I'm at the light at University in the Loop. And this guy hauls ass, and I try to haul ass, and I just blow him in smoke. My damn Suburban's just barely going.
He gets lost in the smoke. What the fuck's going on?
Oh, man. Funny story about that, man. Man. I think it was the night after. It was not my senior year after we won the Spurs. We were over at a buddy's house drinking, and Dave's like, my brother Dave's like, man, I got a shit. And somebody had just gone in the bathroom. She's like, fuck. And so he's so as soon as he walks out the front door, he's like, I'm going to shit. As soon as he walks out the front door, the guy comes out of the bathroom. He couldn't hold anymore. So I go outside, and we're starting to leave, and he's over there leaned up against my Suburban taking a shit. And it's like he's like squirting, dude, and it's windy as hell outside.
Oh, my God. Shout out, dude.
He's going everywhere, and he's wiping his ass with a Thrifty Nickel.
Oh, shout out Thrifty Nickel. I found a termite.
And I'm laughing so hard.
I found that termite.
I was getting the Suburban, dude, and I hit it in reverse and pull off, and he's just standing there with his fucking pants around his ankles, Thrifty Nickel in his hand, squirting everywhere. He squirted all over the tire, and that damn thing was, it was still had that shit on it when I traded in like a year later.
He's all, hey, Daniel, they got pit bulls for sale.
Five for 20.
He's probably going to be pissed when he finds out I told that story.
I can't see the address, but we'll find it. Shout out to your brother, man. Is he still doing the fireman?
Yeah, he's a fireman, man.
Man, that's cool shit.
We were talking about it before. He broke his arm. He works for LBK Roofing, too.
Oh, okay.
Fell off a roof and broke his arm real bad a couple years ago. And, man, it was bad. Like, he had to rebuild his elbow.
Oh, man.
And he was out of work. He was off the fire department for a long time, close to a year, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
And finally went back and... Man, it was bad for him, man. His kind of shit just kind of fell apart after that.
Yeah. But is he getting doing okay right now? Or?
He's doing good, man. He's got his boys, and
they're
doing baseball, and that's their. You know, y'all talk about this is a vacation for y'all on the podcast. Yeah. It's being out there with the boys on the baseball. Oh, yeah. That's his vacation. It's my vacation too, man. We're just in another world watching them play.
Amen, dude.
They love baseball.
They do, man. Yeah. That's all they want to do.
Amen, bro.
And they're on a travel team because it sucks because they're traveling a lot. But
okay.
And I haven't been able to make most games here lately, but.
But just knowing that your boys are doing something, I'm the uncle too. You know, just recently I got to hang out with one of my little nephews, and I don't want to say I'm the cool uncle, but I'm the one where my brothers are the hard asses on the nieces and nephews. I'm the uncle who tries to, you understand where they're coming from. You know, the cool in sports, we'll talk about stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, those baseball moments, enjoy every moment you can because while they're young now, they grow up to be old like us, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
You got to enjoy those moments.
You said that he's a like in the LBK roofer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And doesn't it suck that the new normal is for us to have like two or three fucking jobs, bro. Man? We wonder why we don't have fucking family time or family dinner. Like, we're fucking working. Me working all the time, and then my photography, like,
and then this, you know, seriously, bro.
It's just what you got to do to make ends meet, and it fucking sucks.
Well, he doesn't really need it. He does it because my buddy Todd owns LBK Roofing.
Oh, okay.
And he did it to help him out, and he's not like full time with it. He does like sales and stuff.
Yeah,
just gets the roofs and sends people to come switch them out, and he'll go get it set up and all that. But he makes good money with that, and he loves it, man.
Keeps him busy.
Yeah, especially when they get a hailstorm, dude. He's like, bring on the hail, man.
He's fucking Elmer Fudd.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking money eyes.
That's how it is when it rains. I'm like, now that I mow yards, I'm like, oh, yeah. You give me a week or two, that shit's going to blow.
But he makes sure he's got time for his boys, man.
That's good, man. Shout out to your brother.
He's doing good with those boys.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Like, there was a couple years ago, they were in school, and they had this thing for Thanksgiving where you put, like, you did a little, what you're thankful for, and Chase put, I'm thankful for my dad.
Oh, yeah.
And Cannon put, I'm thankful for my Dan.
Oh, dude.
And, dude, I freaking lost
it. That's badass, bro.
And all the time, like, he would make me stuff at school and be like, I love my Uncle Dan, and I put on the fridge, and he'd always draw, like, Dolphins logos or White Sox logos.
I hope you know how lucky you are, dude. That's cool, bro.
It's awesome,
that's,
man.
That's so badass,
as an
bro.
Uncle,
I love those little boys, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's... We got to get him to start liking the Dolphins. No, they're
hey, we're building, man.
I know. I was gonna say, y'all are building.
If Tua can keep his shit together, and
you think the offense, that head coach is smart as fuck.
I like him.
Yeah, he's good, man. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, I like y'all's receivers. I'll give you shit about it, but yeah,
always, they're loaded at receiver.
I've always kind of been a, you know, that we used to talk about because Ariel, and then I liked Ace Ventura. So Dolphins, you know, I'm a Colts fan, but Dolphins were always like my sick. You know, I used to give you shit about it all.
But
know,
you have a lot of fuckers that are like bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah,
you
know, without a doubt.
Fucking house. This motherfucker's been
since we met
Miami fans.
White Sox and Dolphins my whole life.
Forever.
I actually started out a Bills fan.
Okay.
But they lost to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, and I saw never pull for them again.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of.
So,
yeah.
I went to the Dolphins.
That's why I kind of became a Colts fan. I was 13, and they played the Steelers in 95 to go to the Super Bowl, or 94, but 95 to play the Cowboys in their third Super Bowl. My dad was a Steelers fan, dude. So I was always, not in a disrespectful way, but I always went against my dad.
Yeah.
So the Colts, that year, I went for them, and they almost won it. And so 30 years later, dude, I've been a damn Colts fan.
My dad was always Oklahoma Sooners, man.
Oh, yeah.
So when Tech would whoop their ass.
You had to get
shit.
Was he from Oklahoma?
No, he had some family in Oklahoma.
Okay. But that's who.
But
that
he just pulled for the Sooners. Man. And so does Carl. My older brother Carl does too.
He's always been
Oklahoma Sooner. Yeah.
Some of the most retarded, idiotic fucking arguments I've ever been in my fucking life were at Norman.
No shit.
With an Oklahoma fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They are the.
Yeah.
Oof.
I think even my brother Mike got into some, not a fight, but argument. And, you know, Mike's real calm now. But yeah, when he went over there, he said, like, some of the fans are kind of ridiculous, bro.
Eric went to an Oklahoma game, and he said that one of the fans told him, don't you wish y'all had Baker on y'all's team?
He's like,
and he was like, you don't know where Baker came from?
Yeah.
And he did not believe Eric that Baker would. I'm telling you, man, they're fucking morons, man.
Yeah, they.
They're those, like, they don't even know. They're not even a fan. They just pull from because they're going to school there, man.
Yeah. Or because they win. You know, that's one thing. Tech, I've liked them since.
Like all the fake-ass Longhorn fans, dude. That's the worst. They're the freaking worst.
Oh, we can talk hours about them fucking Walmart fans.
I don't
want to
talk
fans.
About
man,
this.
I have a brother who graduated from Tech, and my brother Steve, a couple years ago, graduated from UT, bro. So now we have one and one.
Yeah.
So now I told JP I'm going to go to TCU or something. Just fuck it all up. I'll go learn the most.
I'm going to go to North Texas.
North Texas. Like Key Peele, Tarverius Jackson, Penn State University.
Oh, shit, yeah. I'm taking my ass to North Texas.
North Texas, hell yeah.
That's fighting. Where you'll get drafted from, bro.
Yeah. Fighting Mean Green. Hey, speaking of North Texas, what do you think about the new coach, Grant?
Oh, I heard he was the man to get.
Bro, yeah, seriously. Yeah. We waited
to
for
be,
him.
To be quite honest with you, I don't know much about him,
yeah.
But I heard that they did the right pick.
He got a couple. He got that Arizona kid, that 7-foot kid. And I've watched a little bit of film on, not film, but highlights and stuff like that.
I'm kind of hoping the tickets go down a little bit.
Yeah. I miss those days.
So I can see more of them.
Dude, with that year, though, man, where they got to the championship, that was a hell of a ride, man.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I still can't watch. It's hard to watch that game. I like to watch it every once in a while.
Yeah, when they show the highlights.
It's hard to watch it, man.
Chris Beard proved that he cannot write an inbounds play to fucking save his life.
That's when his downfall began,
God
bro.
Yeah. Dang. I'm going to go. This guy, he's 2 for 20.
Yeah.
But you're shooting the last shot.
Yeah, yeah. I believe in him.
One in him. Like, he's got one in him.
It's like 12 seconds left. That's about three.
Yeah.
Oh. We had it. We had it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But you want to take a break?
We'll take a break.
Let's do it.
Hey, it's Eric here with Jonathan at the MRAs, the Mexican Restaurant Awards.
We are super excited for tonight. And look, there goes Kanye Guisada. Mr. Guisada, how are you today? Huh? Fam, I'm excited, fam. Huh?
Oh, and look, there's Cheesy F Baby. Cheesy, who are you wearing tonight?
I'm wearing Chili Versace, Young Moolah.
We will see all of you inside if we patiently wait to see who the winner for the best Mexican restaurant is.
Please welcome your hosts, Wei Fieri and Benicio Del Toro.
Hey, this is Wei Fieri, and I'm rolling out. And I'm here with Benicio Del Toro to announce the winner of the best Mexican restaurant. Well, this is something I've never seen before. There are no nominees because Tigre Burrito is in a class of its own. From their breakfast and lunch burritos to their magnificent menudo, your taste buds will be taken down to Flavor Town.
They're located at 720 Highway 62 in Wolfert, Texas, and are open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Make sure to let them know you heard about them on the JP Lopez Show.
And we're back. Real quick, I know that, you know, we were hanging out all the time back in the day.
Yeah.
But your brother Carl, was Thomas's brother's good friend.
Yeah. Legendary.
And so we were not of age.
Oh,
and
I know.
I couldn't tell you how many beers Carl bought us at Club Rio.
Oh, yeah.
But I bring this story up because
Midnight Rodeo was a lot. Do you remember going to Midnight Rodeo?
Midnight Rodeo. But he would go out with Mike to.
But, oh, yeah, to Club Rio. Yeah.
But I bring this story up because Carl was like the only down-ass white boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
country as shit at fucking Rio in the heyday. Yeah,
you don't fuck with his Mexican friends.
And we used, and me and Carl worked together when I got out of high school. And picking his ass up in the morning, he's always freaking still drunk, dude. And we'd have to go to town to count these inventory stores, man. And he was always drunk.
I remember y'all did that type of work. Yeah. Well, y'all would drink at sometimes my house or at your parents' house till like 4 a.m.
Like over at where Carl lived at the Heritage Apartments. And we used to go over there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's this one night. I know you were there. I know Bass was there. Dave was there. Boydston was there. I think Richard Spiegel was there. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, shit. I remember. Yeah. I actually
rest in peace to him. He passed away a few years ago.
I didn't know that.
In a car wreck.
Man, sorry to hear about that.
But, yeah, we were doing keg stands. And so y'all had my big ass up for like 2 minutes. And y'all just fucking let me go. And I hit the tap, hits me right in the chest. And I'm like, just sucking all. I couldn't breathe.
Well, fucker, how much time do you think we're going to pick your ass up?
I know, man. We'll save some beer for us.
I was trying to break some kind of damn record, man. I was trying to go for like 10 minutes, man.
He done drink half the keg and shit. And spec. Expect you how to fucking keep up.
We just let go of your leg. God damn it, share it with us.
And then like we just keep getting fucked up, and then we're looking for Dave, and like go open the bathroom. He's on the shitter with the fucking taking a shit, and he's got a bag of Doritos, and he just passed out.
He was multitasking. Yeah,
he was getting after it, man. He's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. I'm just eating Doritos.
He's going to hate your ass for sharing his story.
I know he's going to remember that shit.
Man, oh yeah. Yeah, we.
He might not, because he was so fucking long ago, and he'd so fucked up that
hope
night.
It was fun.
Oh, man, your brother and my oldest brother would get us, like JP was telling me at the time, Mike would still try to sneak us beers, and we're like, JP's at the bar buying beers and shit. Or Carl would come by, you know, with a couple of shots and give it to him, and JP wouldn't even take the X off. He didn't give a fuck by that time. But yeah, we'd get drunk on school nights, man. I remember that.
Oh, barbecuing. I remember that. Like, fucking, it was a Saturday every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ended up going to, I don't know, you weren't there. We went to the titty bar one night. And it was me, Jeremy Blair, and Carl. And Pat Castro was there.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Pat, yeah.
And, me and Jeremy spent our whole paychecks that day at the titty bar.
Pat's another guy we need on the podcast.
Yeah, dude.
I haven't seen Pat in so long.
Once in a while. I might see him once or twice a year, man. I run into him.
Next time you see him, tell
me. I was seeing him at some baseball games well back, because his boy plays baseball.
That's badass.
Y'all still rub stomachs every now and then? Nah, man, you see him?
He was actually the
old times.
He was working for UPS. I don't know if he still is, and he was delivering to my brother's house. So that's it. My brother got in touch with him when he delivered to his house, but I hadn't seen him in a while. He'll call me. It's out of the blue. Sometimes we'll talk. But.
The titty bars. We had a few. Of the, did y'all see they tore down Jaguars? I passed.
I did, man. I saw that the other day.
Yeah. I work off of 130.
I thought that was the only one we had.
Yeah. No, they finally tore that and that liquor store next to it and off there off of.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tore it down, bro.
We don't have no more titty bars in Lubbock.
There's a one somewhere like 190 way out 98th and like East 98.
Angel, some, I remember
Angel Fire or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
know what it's called.
Is that the only one?
I think so.
I think so. Those think ones on Slayton Highway are closed too.
Yeah. I just can't, when I was coming back, I saw.
I think they're just like porno shops now or something like that.
I go out there and rub one out every night. I show my daughters, that's where me and your mother conceived you.
I rent a room out there from a time or two.
They know me. They know me.
That glory hole, I've stuck in there lots of times.
You remember the porno store on the way to Leveland?
Oh, yeah.
It was like kind of close to Reese, right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we're out there in West 19th, yeah.
Yeah.
I always said, I'm going to go in there one day. I never fucking went in there.
Don't, dude. My...
That's badass. I've heard about
that. I know a guy. He's with the sheriff's department. Said he works out there for security sometimes. He said, "Don't go, man. They'll get fucking busted out there. For people real? Just go out there to do glory hole shit, man."
Oh, yeah. They do. They got that shit.
Yeah,
there?
They said they arrest a lot of people out there.
What was that? Yeah. After? You said Leveland,
so
right?
They're
West
still 19th, open, right?
They're still open. I'm going to ping that location.
You don't know their hours.
You don't know.
Thomas is over here with his phone. Any other glory holes you know about?
Some of your listeners are going to be out. There's one in Abernathy.
Damn, Hells, you sure do know a lot about glory holes.
Hey, man. That's what I've heard, man.
Just what I've heard.
That's what I heard from knowing paramedics and police officers and firemen.
So I've got a ton of stories that I've said and shared about my uncles, bro.
Yeah.
You got an Uncle Jarvis story?
Man, my Uncle Jarvis, dude, he's something else, man. He's so damn funny and like, I don't know. One of the stories he'd always tell us is he was working for this company called Western Uniform. Okay. And he said he would go during his route, he'd go back and shit in the towels.
I love him already.
He'd go shit in the back of the truck and then wipe his ass and then pay it back up. And he'd go take
and
it.
And
somebody
it.
Shit in these freaking towels.
He'd be like,
yeah.
What in the hell? I love your uncle more and more, bro.
Dude, he would love to come on here, man. He was here, like my grandpa passed away in January. And
oh, sorry.
He was here for a while and he stayed with me. And we had a freaking blast, man. Stay up all night drinking beer and just talking, man. I love that man. He's freaking awesome, dude.
Someone shitting them towels. Dude.
He's one of the people that keeps me positive in life, man.
Yeah.
When I'm getting negative and getting in my side of my own head a little bit, he'll call me and he just knows. He calls me and just talks me out of it.
It sounds like everybody needs an Uncle Jarvis in their life and everybody needs an Enos. And if to your listeners, man, if you have an uncle, a dad, a brother, somebody that you know maybe you haven't reached out to in a while, you know, I hope you listen to this and realize, man, you know, reach out to him. Give him because the ones that we don't have anymore, man, if we could just give them one call, you know what I mean?
So, I was always cool with the dads, man.
Yeah.
And like, your dad.
Oh, yeah.
Eric's dad, Jacob's dad. Like, I was always tight. And now, like, we'll go set up our tailgate or whatever. And even years ago, the older guys, you know, the tailgate is still popping off and you'll see me in a crowd of fucking old men just bullshitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because, dude, they fucking tell you stories that you could not believe. Yes, like, they've seen more and
done crazy.
More.
The shit my dad used to say, man. Oh, yeah. Just he like, I my dad that. Said he invented the belt buster from Dairy Queen. He said, I used to go to Dairy Queen all the time and I was a big guy. They'd always make me a double meat, double cheese burger. And he goes, I invented the belt buster, but they called it the bruiser special back then.
Shout out. That's badass.
It was, man, what's like, we've all lost our dads, man.
I know.
It's crazy. And all like in their 60s, man.
It sucks, man.
Like y'all both have, I have, and Sugar Bear has. Yeah. And I know a lot of people that have. It's
crazy because when they talk about, and for me, it's therapeutical when we talk about it because keeping those memories alive. But, you know, talking about his dad, You on the episodes, you hear how we laugh and reminisce. Thinking about your dad, man, he'll let us go over there and party. And he treated me, you know, I didn't realize for many years that him and my dad were so close.
Yeah.
Until I think it was when we played on JV together and they're chopping it up, dude. Like, and my dad starts telling me, he's like, how do you, you know, I didn't know you knew a son. They played football together and they partied together. And then we partied together. Our older brothers partied together.
Yeah, our older brothers, and we partied together.
And then it was crazy. Our mothers worked at Methodist for many years together. Yeah. So
I remember the last time I saw your dad, he was living in a van outside your house.
Yeah, yeah. I'd sneak him in.
I remember pulling up one day. House, what are you doing, man? Yeah, I sit there and bullshit with him for a while. Bro, drink a beer with him.
He said, "You want some coffee?"
He had a tent. He made me sneak it. My mom, they were divorced, bro. My mom didn't know. My dad, he'd park in the back and he'd put a tent, and me and my ex-wife would set it up for him. And he'd have his fucking CD player listening to George Strait and all this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up in the morning. You want to go eat breakfast? I said, motherfucker, get an apartment. But yeah, dude, I remember that. Yeah. Oh, man, I took care of that old man.
Like, it blows people's mind on how little we just. We need to be happy. Yeah. We don't need shit at all to be happy, man.
Give me a tent, George Strait, some breakfast, and then a nap. Yeah, that's
Give
crazy.
Give me a
though,
fucking chair and YouTube, and I'm fucking happy, real, dude.
Brother. Shit, man. Yeah. Me too, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I'd like to think, you know, with us losing our pops, you know, your pops would be very proud of you and your brother, man.
That's crazy. Me and my dad didn't get along for the longest time, man. We used to fight.
That's everybody.
Did it turn out y'all were kind of alike?
That's what everybody says. Because y'all are just a lie.
That's me and Bull, man.
But, and I never had my – I never told my piece to my dad until the night before he died.
Okay.
And it was – he was in and out of it. He was going to go anytime. And I finally got a minute with him, and I told him I was – I said, don't worry about anything anymore. I said, we're good now.
Amen.
I said, you can rest now. I said, Mom's tired. We're all tired. And he said, I know you're tired. I said, fine, let's rest, and let's put everything behind us, man. And then that later on that night, I went to bed, and I was having a dream that was about my dad. We were on the porch at the old house on 33rd where I used to live. And I was sitting there talking to him, and he was young, like when he was young and healthy. Like, he looked good, and he was happy. And then I hear a firework go off, and I jump out in the yard, and I go look. And I look back, and he was gone. Hmm. And at that same time, my mom comes busting in the room. Like, wakes me up and said, Dad just died.
Wow.
And I said, I was literally having that dream as she come walking in the room. It was so crazy.
Damn, dude.
Like, that firework goes off, and I'm looking in the yard for it, and I look back at him to see if he saw it, and he was gone.
Yeah.
And then she came in and told me that. It was insane.
I'm glad you got to make that peace with
your brother. Do you think that was his goodbye?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
If you told him it was going to be okay, I think he was telling you it was going to be okay.
It was, man, because that night... Because there's one night, like a couple weeks before he died, he wanted to start talking to me about it. And I said, no, it's not time for it. We're not going to talk about this right now. We won't talk about that.
Was this in the hospital?
Oh, he was at home.
At the house?
Yeah, he was at home. And he'd woke up one morning, and he just wasn't feeling right. And they went and got him a hospital bed. And he laid there. We were with him every day, the whole family. And he died the day after Thanksgiving. And but that night, my mom had just gone outside with my brother Dave, and they were talking. It was just me and him sitting there. My dad was like just sitting up, and he was looking. He was kind of in and out. He's kind of stuck in that between being here and being up, you know, next life and stuff. And he just kept looking at me. And I said, this is the time I have to say something. So I just walked over to him and leaned over and told him that.
Amen.
And then that was it.
My dad passed away. His last breath, he reached up.
Yeah.
And, we're setting the funeral together, and I didn't want his funeral to be at his church because I was so pissed off at his church.
Yeah.
Because I was like, they didn't send nobody. They didn't give two shits about my dad being sick. And
after everything he did.
He preached for me to be so, like, jump back into my faith and whatever. And they just shit on him while he was sick. So I was like, he's not going to have the funeral at his church. He's going to have it at the funeral home. And my mom was like, you know, kind of devastated with his loss. So she was like, you take care of it.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. I'm telling you all this shit because when I'm meeting this new guy, never met him in my life, and he's about to give like a sermon on my dad for his funeral.
Oh.
So he's asking me everything. And I was like, yeah, my mom said that when he took his last breath, like he reached up. And he goes, you find that a lot of people, when they reach up, when they take their last breath and pass away, they'll reach up. And he says that they believe that it's the angels coming to get them. And I felt at peace with that. Like I was just like, oh shit! Like,
I know what you're saying.
I love that. I love that.
January, my grandpa passed.
I love that, man.
We watched him pass. It's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We were there with him, And he dipped this stuff called Honest Snuff all his life. It's powdered snuff.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I remember that.
And while he was dying, he sat there and he kept twisting his hands like that, and he'd pour like he was taking the dip.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And he'd stick his hand up in the air and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just, it's crazy that you say it, about sticking your hand up in the air. And then my grandpa, he lost his two fingers when he was young, and he had these nubs, and he used to hit us and call it the bullet. And
yeah.
And I got a knot on my head. I still got a knot on my head that happened like 30 years ago.
From granddaddy.
And, dude, you cut somebody's fingers over, it's freaking solid.
Straight
right there.
Bone.
Yeah.
That shit hurts.
Yeah.
And then we'd always grab it, and we couldn't hold on to it. He's like, he wouldn't let us hold on to it. We'd always grab it, he'd pull it away from us. And while he's laying there dying, I grabbed a hold of his nub, and I said, I've got your nub now, and I'm not letting go now.
That's right. Amen to that, bro.
He did that, too, when he was at the funeral home by me. Like I got to see him at the funeral home. I grabbed his nub. They had his nub covered up. I said, y'all got to switch that, because we got to see. That was him. Those two fingers being gone was him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's crazy. You talking about the reaching up. He did that, man.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
He said that they believed, you know, because it was a familiar story that was the angels coming to get him, and the person dying is reaching up to be grabbed.
That's a beautiful. Yeah. That's to a be beautiful taken way. Up. That's a beautiful way. It almost gives you, like you said, that peace, confirmation.
Yeah,
it
calmed me when he told me that. I was like, man, that's awesome. That you know, they say, you know, he's in a better place now, and that was confirmation. That's all the confirmation I needed.
Well, if I'm ever on my deathbed and my daughter say I'm reaching out like this way, tell him he's reaching for the Cheeches. He remembers Jaguars.
He wasn't reaching up, JP. He was reaching for it. Oh, he's grabbing some titties, mija. One last time.
It's like that.
Rub one out.
On my last words.
Rub one out.
No, man. I appreciate you sharing that, because I always, man, I miss my dad. Miss Pete, man. I miss your pops was amazing. I miss him, and I imagine y'all obviously miss him too. But when you talk about it, man, you can just see that sense of pride and that sense of peace in y'all, and I hope you can walk in that. It's cool shit, bro.
I remember a story you told me about your dad.
What's that?
You said that like there was always shit going down on in your street or something.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, man, my dad would go out there and be like asking the cops, what's going on here?
My dad was always this man. He was calling the cops on people too, and he's out there. What's going on?
Tapping the cop on the shoulder. Hey, what's going on here?
He didn't care, dude.
Throw Mr. House, you called us. I know. I just want to know what y'all were doing.
The whole neighborhood would hear my dad. We'd be down at the end of the block playing football or baseball or something with some friends, and he'd get out there. Dave, Dan, time to come home. Just freaking yelling at this man.
He was always good to us too, though. When we'd go by, that he was.
You could always hear him at the football games. You'd always freaking heard him yell.
Oh yeah,
make a tackle. You'd hear it, man.
And after the games, remember, he would, you know, he would be so proud. And that's one thing when you talk about my dad, it warms my heart, because I remember my dad loved y'all. But then I think of like after the games, I can remember your dad waiting for all of us, you know, to tell us how badass we were.
Yeah.
You know, even if we didn't do shit that game, but yeah, and it's good to have those memories. And I can only hope to be a. And I know I'm a decent dad, but I hope to be that to my kids and their friends and shit like that. So,
shout out to your dad and Matthew's dad.
Oh yeah, Martinez,
and he's still alive. But
yeah,
I know. You know, at times people probably think like that's embarrassing that my dad's that loud or whatever.
Yeah, right, right.
But then I guess you grow to like miss it or whatever. Yep. But man, your dad and Isaac Matthew's dad,
yes sir, Mr. Martinez,
man,
for real,
dude,
bro.
They were the biggest fucking cheerleaders, and you were just like, oh yeah.
Shout out Isaac, for real, bro. You're right. Yeah, he. Even when I seen him years ago, he would always just you're right, bro. So
I think all dads are like that when their kids are playing sports. Because when my nephews are playing baseball, I'm the freaking loudest one out there. They're just talking, just yelling at them, man. It's freaking. I love it.
Continue that, brother.
Oh, I will, man.
I love that, dude. That's cool.
And I'll yell at their. I call them their nicknames and stuff. We call my. We call Chase Big Clyde because he runs like a Clydesdale.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He stomps, and but he's slow.
Yeah, okay.
We call him Big Clyde. Oh. And we just call Cannon Nano.
Nano.
But
has there ever been a house that was fast?
No.
He's on my sister.
No. She wasn't even that fast.
She was.
Well, you know, houses, man. We grow big, man.
What sports did your sister play? I remember. Wasn't she
did volleyball for a bit, man. She was softball. Yeah, she quit volleyball in high school and then played nothing but softball.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember her leather jackets. And I remember those days, brother.
She was she thought she was a shit. we played. She was playing some summer league one time. We was over at McKenzie Park playing, and the team didn't show up. They were supposed to play, so they wanted to play like the dads and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister was pitching. I hit a grand slam off.
Yeah, yeah. I remember who I am, baby.
Humble her ass real quick.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is a man's world, sis. That's badass.
Yeah, man. Oh, man.
And then you Clydesdale around the bases.
Dude, yeah. Chase, man, that's the way he runs, man. He's like a freaking Clydesdale out there, but he hammers that ball, dude.
That's cool. What position does he play?
He's left field. He was playing third base and left field, and then Cannon plays first base, and he's awesome, dude.
Stud?
Yeah, they're both studs, man.
Shout out to your nephews, man.
I can't get enough of them, dude. They're so good. They won the championship tonight, and they're at PK at Rocker B Ranch playing baseball at a tournament this weekend. They won the championship today.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
And they got their ass whooped twice yesterday, and they were the last seed. And they come back and whoop all the good teams today.
Amen. Hey, that's how you got to do it. You know, you keep going.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man.
It was awesome. And my brother works with them all the time. Every time I'm over there, we're in the backyard, and they're hitting the balls, throwing the balls. And they love it.
You know? I'm glad your brother got some boys, man.
They want to play. They like playing football, too. We play a lot of football in the living room when they're little, man, throwing the Nerf ball, and they just tackle each other.
Oh, yeah.
They go outside, and we'd play. They get them little Dolphins and Cowboys uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
And they go out there and freaking get after it, man.
But baseball's going to be their sport?
Probably.
Probably. Amen.
Chase wants to play football.
Okay.
Cannon, they're both smart, but Cannon just – he wants to be an artist. He wants to be a baseball player. Chase wants to follow everything Daddy does. He wants to be a fireman. And
let him chase those. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, give him those dreams to chase.
Right. I told both them boys, I said, man, Daddy's been saying he's been wanting to be a fireman since he was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's cool.
I said, you stick with that, man. Do what you want to do.
I was always proud of David for doing that, dude. It's cool. It's cool to hear that.
Yeah, man. He's freaking awesome. Like, every fireman knows him. Like, yo, I'll run to a fireman, and you know my brother? Oh, shit, yeah, I love House. I love him.
It's been years, man. You give him a big hug for me next time.
I will, man. He needs to come on here. Well,
yeah.
I think
it'd yeah.
be – Tell him to give me a call.
Most definitely have y'all both on, man.
It'll damn sure be fun having him here, man.
That'll be an episode. Tell him about shitting and eating some Doritos at the same time.
Oh, we don't want to get into shitting. It's
So when we beat the Yankees to go to the World Series, the first run,
yeah,
I got shit faced, man, shit faced. You know, diehard fucking Ranger fan, finally made it.
Yeah,
and my pops found me passed out on the shitter,
dude.
I'll never forget how just the disappointment in his he must have had to have taken a shit for hours, and then I guess he finally was like, what the fuck's this kid doing? And he fucking goes in there and he yells at me, and I'm like, huh? And I'm passed the fuck out on the shitter.
Dad, the Rangers won.
One of the worst times I've ever been messed up, man. I was at the titty bar. I was with a guy I used to work with, and we bought a 30-pack Keystone Light, like we was talking about earlier, Keystone Light back in the day.
Yes, sir.
And a bottle of Jack Daniels, and we finished the whole thing. Mm. We was out on Slayton Highway. And I don't know how I got back home. I know I drove home, but I don't know how I got there. Because I remember leaving the titty bar.
That's a lot of our story.
The next thing I remember, I woke up against a tire of my truck and laying in the grass. And I'm like, what the fuck? And the only reason I didn't know how long I was there. I've been there for hours. But there was a car coming down the street and got its lights in my eyes, and it woke me up, and I thought it was a cop, and I freaked out.
Oh, yo, did I hit somebody?
So I jump in the house. I go in the house. I was still in my parents at the time. I was like 19. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on the porch. I'm like, I got to get myself together. I can't walk. I got to get in the house. So I get in the house, and there's a couch right there. As soon as you walk in the door, and I passed out. And next thing I know, well, here comes my mom. Shine the lights in my eyes. And I'm like, fuck, it's the cops.
Get up. I remember that living room.
That little front room at my parents' house, yeah. That's where all the shit went down, playing freaking PlayStation.
PlayStation, yes, sir.
So I get up and go to the bathroom and turn the shower on and just get in the shower, clothes on, everything's passed the fuck out. Wake up to my mom beating on the door. I think he's dead. Wake up.
You're a mom. I'm trying to sleep. Leave me alone.
I was fucked up, man. That was bad.
Yeah, I'll never forget that, man. He looked at me like, this dumb motherfucker, man.
You saw disappointment.
You know, they beat the Yankees, man.
We're going to the World Series, Pop. Dude, it was crazy down there when that happened. I was seeing a friend down there in Fort Worth at that time, man. It was freaking nuts down there.
Oh, I bet, brother. I remember shedding a tear, literally. You know, call me a pussy what you want, but I've watched the Rangers since I was a little kid. And I was a Red Sox and a Rangers fan, but and I'd go outside my front porch on 3rd Street in the brick wall, and I would throw my tennis ball. I'd pretend I was, you know, I'd play first base, second base in my head, playing and stuff, but I knew the lineup. So when we went to the first World Series, man, I literally shed a tear. And,
yeah.
Oh, dude, I cried like a baby when the White Sox won in 05, man.
Oh, yeah. I was happy for you. I remember that. Yeah,
and it was against the Astros. Mom, my family's Astro fan, so it was even better.
It's like when you hit that grand slam off your sister.
I'll always have that. I don't give a shit. I'll always have that.
80 years from now, when we're on our deathbed, you're going to tell your sister.
You remember McKenzie Park?
My sister, man, she used to always think
the motion, your last breath to reach up, right? We just talked about that. Your last breath is going to be a swing away.
Swing away.
A grand slam.
That's bad. I hope that happens, bro.
My sister, she used to always try to get with the guys, mess with us and stuff.
Yeah.
One day I called her a bitch, and she punched me in the jaw like twice. And I said, you better not ever fucking do that again. She did it one more time. I got her in a headlock and slammed her down and about squeezed her ass to death. And then she's fucking with Dave one day. That's when him.
She was tough, yeah.
So man. He gets his pinky and he throws like that and hits her right in the throat. And she can't breathe. I was like, you just killed her, dude. And luckily, my mom just walked in the house from work.
Well, he learned it from the old bullet, man.
Granddaddy.
My sister's like gasping for air, like, you just killed her. My mom walks in, call the ambulance. She can't breathe.
David's a baby, too, right? He was like, shit, I killed my sister.
Oh, yeah. Well, she used to think she was a badass. Oh, yeah. Please fuck with us, man. We had to set her straight.
You had to remind her. She's a man's world, sister.
Oh, man, my sister's awesome, man. Yeah, she did a lot for me when I was in the hospital. And
amen.
She's helped me a lot the past few years, man. She's a good woman, dude.
That's awesome, man. Shout out to your family. It's so good to reminisce. You know, like I said it earlier when I pulled up, I seen y'all talking. It took me a second because I just thought of all the old house, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. But I'm proud of you, brother. I'm glad to see you doing well.
Yeah, man. Most definitely, because, like, I couldn't tell you how many times we've fucking at Thomas's mom's house and drinking Keystone Light, getting fucked up, man.
JP asked, who's going to go get more beer? Daniel, can you drive?
And I used to live right down when I was married. I live right down the street from you on 39th.
I do remember
Boston,
that a few times when you first moved. I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember.
And I'd come walking down there. I said, let's go look for my wife. She's out fucking around somewhere.
And here I was. My wife will never do that. That whore. And you were trying to warn me.
She said she's at work, but she's at the bar somewhere. Let's go find her.
God,
I'd be driving him in my minivan. That bitch, where is she at?
We drove that little freaking gray car that...
I got that back.
Seen that outside your house one day.
Now my daughter
riding in that thing, man.
Little Hyundai accent, bro. Can you imagine me, him, and Ariel and that motherfucker? It happen, bro.
Yeah.
How? I don't know, but yeah, dude. We had some great times. Yeah.
Y'all should have played that song. Take my breath away.
I have a story about that.
That's how I was when they dropped me on that damn keg that one night. Shit.
Literally. He's all, I mean,
to their credit, they held you up for 2 minutes.
Yeah. 2 minutes. And I'm still a big fucker, but I wasn't as big as I was.
You were dead.
I'm bigger
sexy
now than I was back then.
You were sexiness. You still are, goddamn. No,
Scale doesn't measure the sexiness.
That's right, damn it.
No, like, well, my brother or somebody will ask, we'll talk about, why don't you eat salads? I said, hey, you don't get this damn sexy eating salads. Shit.
Damn right. You damn right.
It's a lot of double cheeseburgers and barbecue.
You know how much expensive a fucking salad is? Shit.
Go to Chick-fil-A and spend on $12 on a goddamn salad. Get some walnuts in that bitch.
Fuck out of here with your salad. Yeah, man. Dude, I'm fucking happy you came back on, brother.
Dude, I'm glad you came on, invited came me, dude. I've listened for the longest time, and I was just like, man, hopefully one of these days he's going to reach out to me. And I get the one-year anniversary show, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations again, brother.
Yeah, thanks to you guys, man. Thanks to everyone fucking listening, man. It's been a fucking cool ride. It really has been. And the podcast has reunited us.
Yes, sir.
Dude, I hadn't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been a long time. We're going to have to... We'll have to hang out some more, man.
Most definitely the first of many episodes. Oh, yeah.
I'll come back anytime, man. Yeah. Just let me know.
That's what I tell him. I was like, you want me to pick up some trash outside or something? I ain't even got to be on an episode. I'll be here.
My brother wants to come and talk about his bachelor party on here.
No, shit.
That's a whole movie right there.
Yeah, that's two fucking episodes.
That's for his, what'd you say, your YouTube channel or your parlay?
We might have to keep some names out of it.
Yeah, we probably would. It started out like me and Jeremy
some
Blair.
Some of those people are married now. Yeah.
Some of them are highly.
Everybody's married now.
Yeah.
Except Thank for me. Pretty much. Except, yeah. Well, I'm not yet, and then Dave just got divorced, so.
Okay, yeah.
But, well, man, it started out me and Jeremy were go to the Dave's house, and he answers in his fucking underwear, half asleep. Yeah. And that just started from there, man, and watching somebody's homemade porn movies on their cell phone on the ride there.
Good times. Good times. Homemade porn.
Dude, how, like.
Oh, shit.
Now people, I don't know how it is now, to be honest with you, but back then, it was nothing for us to watch somebody else fucking like on a home film or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now it's like, you know, like the whole Me Too, or I don't even know how to like say it, but like you're kind of like that's their private
stuff.
Yeah,
that's their
privacy. You know, like you shouldn't be.
It's like, me and my homeboy shared shit.
Yeah, but back then, fucking everybody was sending it to each other.
Do their flip phones. Hey, bro, I'm doing it.
Those celebrities, man, they had those sex. They find a way to leak that shit to get.
Oh,
that's how Kardashian got her fucking start.
Oh, yeah. And I never watched it, not fully, because I rubbed one out like.
But I'm talking,
he was quick. He was done in like 30 seconds.
I'm talking like someone we knew. You know what I mean? Like, hey, like, I got video of her sucking dick. Well, send it to me.
You're on me too.
Show it to me.
If we had cell phone cameras back in the old Suburban, man. There's some shit like that could have got out.
Oh, yeah. Bro, I'm grateful.
What people use that for.
Some of the stuff we did.
Hey,
I'm
Dan,
grateful.
Hit the smoke.
I want her to, I got to make her cough a little bit.
Hit Hell the yeah, smoke.
And I remember too, like the middle seat was broke, so I had to lay it down. You know, it just had, everybody just laid in the freaking place, man. Didn't even have seats.
I remember after practice sometimes we just pile up in that bitch, man. Yeah. Like you said, Burger King or.
You remember before we had rides and we had to make it at Chapman in 10 minutes?
Oh, that sucked, man.
Dude, there was like what, 20, 30 motherfuckers in the car?
Oh, one. Yeah. I was going to say, Chris.
This well, I got lucky. My sister was going to Chapman, too, for softball, so I just hit you around with her most of the time.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Cool. Because we fucking...
Yeah, we would jump on people's cars that we didn't even know, and I'd be hanging on to the trunk.
We were on
shit.
The fucking roof of the car holding on, like... Stupid, and there was, like, 40 motherfuckers in that car.
I still remember. Y'all gave me so much shit for not playing my junior year, man. Yeah. We ended up... We were in food science nutrition class together.
Yeah.
And you'd always give me shit about it.
Yeah. I did, too, man.
We had... Joe Rescindo,
yeah,
and another girl.
What was that girl's name?
I think her name was Chrissy.
Chrissy Ramirez.
Yeah.
Her name, yeah.
Oh, so it was us four at that table. Yeah. And
I remember
like
that girl.
Like they were, to my, I don't know, I didn't know them too well back in school, but to like outside looking in, they were like always like, you know, like the good girls, you know?
Yeah, good girls.
And we'd go out there and like, shoot our shit from the weekend, and their jaws would literally drop and be like, what the fuck?
Girl, why do we got a park?
Remember, we sat in the Suburban one day drinking beer on a Friday morning class. And what was that? That black Sambone was his name?
Sambone.
Oh, Sambone. Yeah. He's the one that gave me the name Thomas.
Dude.
Thomas Rios.
I forgot about that. Fucking 8, like 9 in the morning drinking beer in that Suburban.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you're the one that taught. Smart idea JP gave me was to put some Bacardi 151 in a Sprite bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And we walked up. Remember, we were going to, I think I had history on second period one day. And I was walking up. JP just gives me the bottle. Like, he drunk his share. And he's like, oh, you're good, bro. I drunk by second period.
I wasn't even hot. I was just cracking beers on the way to school, man. Yeah, I didn't fucking care.
Going up to the, killing it before you get in the door and shit.
Pretty much. You would drink them hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be tripping out. And
fucking
shit.
Houses drinking
well,
beers
I
hot.
I don't want my parents. I don't want my parents. I could have them in the fridge. So I just throw them in the Suburban overnight.
Yeah, fuck, true. House. This is hot. Yeah. You don't want it? No.
Right, I'll drink it. Yeah. I'll be a pussy Rios. I'm all throwing up.
I didn't care.
Bro, we got second.
What are you, fucking German? Yeah. Shit.
We got second period to go to, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was.
I could never. Like have a child of my own and think like that they weren't going to do the shit that I did. Cause man, I did some.
I've told my brother that. I said
shit.
The shit we used to do as kids. We don't need to let Cannon chase nobody.
Yes,
because they're going to do it too. They actually when I told them I was going to be on this podcast, they're like, "Can we come too?"
You don't want to.
I said it's not going to be appropriate for you, probably.
You got to wait a little bit.
Yeah,
you don't know this side of Uncle Dan yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, they know a little bit of it, but we try not to get it all out there.
Well, I got daughters, man, and as you know, I'm protective, but I got to watch out for people like us. Because I remember some of the girls that hang out with us and, you know, wanting attention and throwing themselves over everybody. So I tell my daughters, no, 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 you're not going to do that shit. Yeah. You will not be that young lady.
Yeah, fucking drinking beers in the Suburban at school.
Hot as shit, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Friday morning class. We didn't have to do shit on Friday mornings anyway.
I don't think I even went to a Friday class.
You had people sign you in.
But, like, I just was always at Chapman.
Yeah.
We just stayed at Chapman all morning. Always at Chapman. Yeah,
regardless of whatever class I had, I was just there at Chapman.
Then roll over and get some Burger King for breakfast. Yep. And
I remember one of my favorite classes on Friday classes was that I got to watch Three Stooges for 2 hours. Bro, that's when I had that broken
hand. I had one of those classes too, man.
Yeah, and we probably had one together.
It might have been.
I think we did, actually, because I remember when I had that broken hand, I pop a Darvocet, watch fucking Three Stooges for 2 hours.
This is fucking Friday. I can't feel myself.
Where's that Bacardi?
JP Lopez.
Oh, man. Those good times, dude.
Well, fuck, man. Thank you for coming on, brother.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man. I was so excited to be here. That's all I've been talking about, man.
Dude, I'm over the moon. Fucking, I ain't lying when I say this is probably the first of many.
Yeah.
Good.
We'll get Eric's ass in here.
Yeah, I'd love to have Sugar Bear in here, man. He could fill you in on Dave's bachelor party, too.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you could make a movie of that, and it would be freaking amazing. It's better than The Hangover.
That's what I was about to say. Fucking beat The Hangover.
Yeah, we
got to
make the movie.
Yeah. God almighty, man.
Yeah, man. But Thomas, dude, I know you had a busy-ass weekend, and it was a vacation for you, but thank you for fucking jumping on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad you came, man. That's what I told him. I said,
thank you.
If I'm coming, Thomas better be there.
Amen to that, bro. And I appreciate you even thinking of me all this time, having me on.
I'm glad he didn't tell you either.
Bro, it was one of the best. Like I said, I just got in town a few hours before I got here. Went and did a yard for one of the listeners to JP's in the Pondejo show. And so I was like, man, I got to be there. He didn't tell me he was here. So when I pulled up, man, it was like just another surprise to a great weekend. So I love you, House. I'm glad to see you.
I love y'all, man.
Yeah, and
man.
I'm proud of you, man. Keep it up, brother.
I love
thanks,
y'all, man.
Seriously, brother. And happy fucking 1 year birthday.
Hey.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Proud of you, brother.
Proud of you,
thanks,
man.
JP, appreciate
bro.
It. But I mean, I say happy birthday. It's my show, but motherfuckers, it's all y'all.
Amen, bro. Amen.
You're the first timer, but it's you, man. You
long time listener, man.
You supported the show like
I've listened to every freaking episode. I actually, how I got started, I listened to Pondejos one time. I didn't know Jonathan much in high school, but I knew who he was. So when I found out they had the podcast, I listened to it, and you were on there, and then they got to talking about you were going to start your own, and I said, I can't fucking wait.
I know. I hadn't talked to JP in years, but when I first heard people doing podcasts, and the first thing I can think of was like, that dude needs a podcast, because he just has all the wild stories, but his personality, and here he is. So a year later, bro, badass, dude. Shout out to your listeners for supporting you, man.
And, dude, the Abner thing that I freaking rolled when you first said that story. The Abner stuff.
My daughters can't watch the news now, bro. They're like, was he really like that?
And then y'all some shit about. I was telling my Uncle Jarvis about the Finger Hut thing y'all were talking about the other day.
You knew who Finger Hut was.
I remember that shit.
No, but I know you know who Finger Hut was.
I know who you
were. Let me smell them fingers.
But man, I was telling him about that. He's like, dude, I got to hear this shit, man. He goes, I need to be on there.
Yeah. Shout out to Uncle Jarvis, man. That's badass, dude.
House knew them finger huts. Yeah. And those glory holes.
You're gonna get me in trouble, man. I learned those from Thomas.
Yeah, hey. Cutting out.
He's got a list on his phone where the glory holes are at.
That's on my iPhone. I tell JP, this phone's for the work purposes. The other one's for my porn. So if you ever see my iPhone, don't touch it.
Literally, don't touch it.
Yeah, it's going to be a little sticky.
I'll put a fucking black light to that motherfucker. Dude, thank you guys. Thank you to John Eric Media, man. They believe in me, and they fucking, like, this is their studio, bro. And you just seen me act like I own this studio.
Yeah.
Like, they want nothing but the best for me. And
y'all got an awesome thing going here, man. I'm happy for all y'all, man. I don't know them too well. I'd love to talk wrestling with Eric, though.
Oh, dude.
I can talk to hours
y'all
about wrestling.
Y'all can sit for 5 episodes. Yeah. And
he's good. And y'all got a good thing going, and I'm happy for y'all, man.
Thanks, man. Were you Rock or Stone Cold?
Stone Cold.
There you go.
I was Triple H, man, for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Triple H.
Okay.
But I grew up Steiner Brothers, dude. That was my shit back in the day.
Oh, dude.
Sir.
Fuck yeah.
The Steiner
Hell
Brothers.
Yeah.
Which one, Scott or Rick? Who was your favorite?
Both, dude. Both? I liked them both. Me and Dave would be tag team, and he'd be Scott, I'd be Rick,
yeah,
whatever.
There you go. Older brother, yeah.
The what was it called? His finishing move when he
The Frankensteiner.
Yeah.
Frankensteiner.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
I remember I had all the little figures, dude, all the wrestling figures, and I had a wrestling buddy, as a Sting wrestling buddy, for Christmas one year.
Yeah, yeah. The soft one.
And Dave was pissed off because he didn't get one. He tried to grab it from me, ripped his arm right off, man.
Oh,
fucking just ruined my Christmas. Mom stitched it up, so he had a scar there for the rest of his life. But I had that wrestling buddy forever.
Yo, Sting ain't handicapped, bro. God dang it.
Yeah, I saw a meme not too long ago, and it said this country has never been more divided. And then it showed WCW versus WWF, the Attitude in the NWO era.
Yes, sir.
And I was flipping back and forth, man. I couldn't figure out which one. And then the Stone Cold come around, and I pretty much stuck on Stone Cold.
And that's when wrestling was good, bro, because, you know, I'd stay at his house to watch. And like you said, Monday nights, you're switching over. Like Hate talked about in a couple episodes, we'd have Duck and people come over playing video games. And
that
got me into wrestling, bro.
That legit was must-see TV.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And if you missed it,
yes, sir,
you were fucked for
that
week.
Yeah, because we didn't have DVR back then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you were fucked for that week because you wouldn't know what we were talking about. You'd have to literally call your friend, right? Everyone was going to talk about it on Monday.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man. Fuck yeah, dude. But appreciate you, brother. Love you, man.
I love y'all, man.
And before we go, you have any shout-outs?
Yeah, man. I want to shout out my girl Natalie, man. She owns D-Lights Lubbock ice cream truck.
Oh, she does?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the food truck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's doing
I've seen that truck at the art show.
Yeah, she was at the art trail, and I saw a picture of y'all at Two Docks.
Yeah.
And I should have freaking went. Yeah. And I almost went.
I went out there
myself. I knew your wife was doing the...
My wife will be there again at Two Docks.
I'll be at the next one, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But I should have went, but I sat home and got drunk by myself.
Call me.
I was freaking hammered.
Call me. We would have went in there.
You got to get drunk by yourself. Just call
you sent me. You sent me your phone number earlier, and I looked at my phone. I was like, shit, I've already had the fucking phone.
Yeah, yeah.
What
the fuck?
I need to get Thomas's current number, though.
Definitely, before we leave, brother. Yes, sir. Reach out to me. We'll go get
Don't get drunk by yourself.
Yeah.
That's what
I like to drink Friday again.
Friday nights, she does the art trail, or she does the Midnight Cravings.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not doing nothing, so I sit at home and freaking get hammered.
Okay. Well, give me a call sometime.
Shout out the food truck again?
D-Lights Lubbock.
Yeah.
D-Lights.
She works her ass off, man, and she's getting real busy, and it's coming along for her. She's been doing it for like 3 years now. And
oh, nice.
Freaking love it, dude. And she works two jobs, and she busts her ass, man, to make it a success.
Sweet ass, man.
If anybody's interested in like bringing her out for like a private stuff, is she?
Oh, yeah. Just hit her up on Facebook, man, on D-Lights Lubbock.
And your nephews?
Yeah. My nephews, Ken and Chase, shout out to them. They won a championship at Possum Kingdom at Rocker B this weekend. Dave's their coach, too. He's one of their coaches. He's third base coach, and I chew his ass a lot because he's...
Got to. Your big brother.
Does he wear those little coach's shorts?
Oh, yeah. One day he was pitching,
balls
man.
Are hanging.
One day he was pitching for a game, and he couldn't do shit, and I was on his ass. I said, come on, pitcher, do some shit. And after the inning was over, he came over to me and goes, why don't you shut the fuck up? This is harder than you think it is. I was like, I'll shut up now, man. I'll be quiet. Shout out to them, man. My brother loves those boys. I love those boys just as much as he does.
Amen.
He's an awesome dad to those kids. And
sounds like them boys are blessed, man.
Yeah, and shout out my Uncle Jarvis, man. He keeps my head right, man, when he calls me. And he's so positive, man, that he don't let me be negative. He always keeps me positive, man. It means a lot to me.
You got to have that, man. Shout out Uncle Jarvis, man. Hell
he
yeah.
He wants to come on here, too. I told him I was going to be on here. He's like, man, how the fuck do I listen? How do I listen live?
Got a new listener. Amen.
I said, man, I'd love to have you on. He goes, I'd fuck him up. He goes, I'd fuck that shit up, man. He said, I'll come. I'll be on there.
I got to meet him, man.
I'll shit twice in some towels.
Well, my Uncle Jarvis, dude, he's got this long freaking gray beard down to his belly button.
Okay.
Just a simple man. He wears the same black shirt and jeans every day.
Yeah.
That's all. And he fishes all the time. He works. He lives down in South Texas. But
nice.
Yeah, he fishes all the time and just works, man. That's all he wants to do. Sits in the truck, drinks beer, and listens to music.
My kind
of guy. Your Uncle Jarvis story, it reminded me of my next-door neighbor. He's crazy, crazy older white man. And he comes over at time or two, and he's hard of hearing, so I got to yell at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cool as shit, but I guess he wasn't really feeling his house or whatever, and he stayed for a while. And I was just like, God damn, man, it's time for you to go. And before he left, he told me a story. He's like, you work on the power lines? I said, no, I don't work on it. He goes, I used to work on the phone lines. And he goes, this was back in, I want to say Oklahoma. And he said that back then, if someone was on the, like, they had to do maintenance on the phone lines, you tap in the phone, and if they were on the phone call, you'd, like, have to wait till they got off the phone. Oh. The phone call ended.
Okay.
And he said that it was 20, 30 minutes. He'd tap in a few times, and they were still on it. And he's like, what the fuck? So he tapped in and, like, stayed on to see what the hell they were talking about. And he said that it was a guy and a girl, and it was the guy accusing the girl of cheating. And he's like, you know, fuck you. I know you got a man there, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, you're fucking crazy. I don't got no one here. You can come over here now, blah, blah, blah. He's like, fuck you, bitch. So there's a guy there. And he said her name a few times. So my next door neighbor's listening, so he knows her name, right? So he said he fucking, like, gets, he's already tapped in. So he gets on the phone. He's like, Susan, hang that fucking phone up and come fuck me. And he's like, I told you, bitch.
Oh, 2 days later, she was murdered.
That reminds me. We prank called my dad one time.
Holy shit.
Prank called my dad one time. It's like some computer thing that you could prank call people, and called him, and it was like a black guy talking about hitting his car in a parking lot. He said, your number was on my, your, there's a note on your my window with your number on it. It said you hit my car. And my dad was like, fuck you, I don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who you're talking to. He just hung up the phone. It's like, shit, we couldn't get it.
Never mind.
Oh, shit.
Can't prank him. Oh, man. Thomas, you got any shout-outs, brother?
Shout-out to you and your listeners once again. But again, shout-out to Angelo Ramirez. He's a graffiti artist here in town. They had a. He's a. Look him up on Facebook, man. Him and his wife, Rebel Painting. He has does some badass graffiti work. He does mural work. But he also does, like, some home stuff. Paints doors, trimming and all that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's a shout out Angelo Ramirez and Kirby Ramirez, you know, good people and shit like that. So other than that, man, just shout out to you and congratulations, bro.
Appreciate that, man. I've got nothing but love for everybody, but what's hitting me in my strings is Alfredo Garza and San Juan Rodriguez, man.
Yeah.
They've been sponsors of this show for
no doubt
for the whole year, man.
Shout out,
I can't thank them enough. Like, I can't speak highly of them enough. Like, shout out to DJ Kipo and shout out to Patriot Paint Construction and Theater Burrito. Like, you guys, we all are 1 year old today.
That's cool. So, hell yeah. Congratulations, man. All of y'all guys.
But that's awesome, man.
Thanks to the John Eric Media. Deep Dive with Don Flamingo is 1 year old too.
Oh,
so,
shit. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, man. Like, we started together.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Hell yeah. If you, he's taking a break right now. But if you want to tap into some conspiracy shit, I highly suggest that. And then the Pendejos every Friday. And, thank you guys. Thank you guys, man.
Much love.
Man, I appreciate it.
We made the 1 year.
Thank you for letting me come on there, man.
Hell yeah, man.
For the 1 year, that feels like a big deal to me, man.
Sure, it is. Yeah,
it is a big deal for you. It is. Especially.
Proud of you, brother. Hope you know that.
Till next time, man. Read some books.
She was a waitress at the only joint in town. She had a reputation as a girl who'd been around. Down Main Street after midnight, brand new pack of six, a fresh one hanging from her lips, a beer between her legs. She'd ride down to the river and meet with all her friends. The road goes on forever and the party never ends. Sonny was a loner, older than the rest. He was going in the Navy, but couldn't pass the test. So he hung around town, he sold a little pot. The law cop went to Sonny, but one day he got caught. But he was back in business when they set him up.